Good morning. It is Good Shepherd Sunday, and we heard these words from Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In the first reading today, we hear about the stone rejected by the builders. And the stone is Jesus. Jesus is the foundation stone of our faith. He is the cornerstone of the building of the church. Jesus is the stone that Peter goes on to say is rejected by you. And who is you? You is Rome, the secular power of Rome, the Roman Empire, the Roman rulers. Who is you? You is the Sanhedrin, the religious powers there in Jerusalem. So it was both the secular power and the religious power. They conspired together and they rejected Jesus, who was the cornerstone. And we need to be aware of that. It is a very common and unfortunate component of human nature that we can reject Jesus. And this is demonstrated by the fact that the secular power and the secular government and the religious authorities and the people, you know, even the apostles right there at the end ran away. And so, but we know that Jesus was rejected, the cornerstone, the foundation, that which our lives are to be built around was rejected, and he died. But then what happened? We celebrate in the Easter season. Then what happened? He rose from the dead. And so we keep this reality in mind. We keep it in front of us that while in our fallen self, in our broken humanity, we will often ignore the voice of the Good Shepherd, even reject the voice of the Good Shepherd. But what happened when we rejected him? He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead and he continues to seek us. Even to this very moment, even to this very sermon right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him. And Peter tells us today there is no salvation through anyone else. There is no other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Jesus is the salvation of the world. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He lays down his life and he takes it up again. And he beckons to us, "Come, follow me." There is no salvation through anyone else. There is no other name given to the human race by which we are to be saved. And I ask maybe the question, saved from what? You ever ask yourself that? When you think about, are you saved? You have to say, saved from what? You know, we need to ask these questions. We need to dive in, get under the surface of these passages of sacred scripture and explore what do they mean. And I would say, saved from ourselves. Saved from fallen human nature, saved from fallen angelic nature, saved from evil. I'm going to tell you a little something about human nature, okay? This is a story from 1 Kings. I'm just going to give you the simplest facts of the story. The Babylonians came in and conquered the Jews. They took Hezekiah, the king. He had 7 sons. You know what they did with his 7 sons? They killed them one after the other in front of King Hezekiah. And then, so that it would be the last thing he saw, they gouged out his eyes. And they took him off to exile. That's human nature. That's what we are without God. Saved from what? Jesus comes to save us from ourselves. You know, sin. I was listening. Sometimes I get caught up. I know I'm the only one in the church here. Sometimes I'll get caught up watching a few YouTubes, okay? And I was watching one some the other day. And I saw this interesting little tidbit. And it was an atheist, Christopher Hitchens. and he's kind of a famous atheist. And he was talking about the fact that looking at the landscape of humanity, he wanted to live in a Christian country. He says, I want to live in a Christian country. He's an atheist. He actually said these words. He said, I am glad that there are fewer Christians. I am glad that there are less people going to church. But then he said, but I want to live in a Christian country. And I'm said, this is an insane contradiction. But he doesn't see the insanity of it. Because he recognizes that in a Christian country, that he's rapidly losing its Christianity in England, he knows there is this respect for truth. There is a desire for humanity and humaneness. That there is, in the words of St. John Paul II, we as Christians believe in the two wings, faith and reason, on the dove that is the truth, and that we put together a desire to live in truth. And he likes living in that environment. Because it's the environment built on the cornerstone of Jesus. But if you don't have any Christians, guess what you rapidly run out of? A Christian culture. And you are going to return to paganism. And it's happening. And he sees it. And he doesn't like it. And I think to myself, you know, without Christ, there's no Christian culture. There's no love of truth. Jesus is the truth. You know, I want to live in a Christian culture too. What about you? I want to live in a Christian culture. But every single day, unfortunately, it's being eroded. It's being eroded away. What does it look like now? I talked about this last Sunday a little bit. We have come to this place where we have this radical exaltation of self. That each individual becomes the measure of all things. It's called a subjective or relativistic morality. I get to choose what is good and evil for myself. We have come to a place of a deep skepticism for any philosophical or judicial or sociological truth claim that's not my own, that I didn't just make up myself. We have come to a place where we have a kind of cultural disregard for the sanctity of life and our bodies, the collapse of the family, all of those things. And again, why am I saying this? I don't want to depress you this morning. But St. Peter stood up in front of the people in Jerusalem and said, you have rejected the cornerstone. You have rejected Christ. I hope you haven't rejected Christ. But we have to be aware of the fact that that's in the water we drink now. Every day, it's more and more so. But the good shepherd rises from the dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And there's no salvation in anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved, by which a Christian culture comes about. I was listening again to another little segment, and there was this question posed to a Christian preacher and teacher, and it was about, is everybody that's not a Christian going to hell? And he answered the question. He said, I can't judge anybody. God has not given me that job. I'm not called to be any person's judge. What I preach, what I profess, is that if anybody's saved anywhere in the world, if they are saved by Jesus. Now, the church's teaching on salvation and the rejection of the cornerstone and all of those things is very beautiful, and it's very nuanced, and it's very individual. and you should read about it sometime in the catechism on the section on baptism, because we teach that we must be baptized, right? And then the church talks about the baptism of blood and the baptism of desire and all of these other nuances and individualities that we can't judge. Who's going to judge us at the end of our lives? But there's no salvation in anybody else but the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd was sent by God, who so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know mine and mine know me. I will lay down my life for my sheep, and I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. It is for us to hear and for us to listen. And you know, as I'm talking about good shepherds today, we need shepherds. You know what we need in the world right now? We need good shepherds. We need leaders in the Christian faith. We need people who can stand up coherently and consistently and bravely and proclaim the message of Jesus, that salvation comes from our Lord and from a Christian worldview. This is what makes a Christian society. This is a society that honors truth. This is a society that not just some atheists want to live in. They all want to live in a culture, Christian culture, because we all want to live in a humane society that respects truth and calls people to their greatness, that calls people to self-sacrifice. St. Paul said this: if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries, if I have faith and I can move mountains with my faith, but I have not love, I am nothing. A Christian culture is a culture of love that follows the Good Shepherd who lays down his life. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, do you know his voice? You know, I say this at funerals a lot of times. People say they call Jesus called them home, right? Y'all have heard that as a euphemism for death. Anybody ever heard that as a euphemism for death? Well, when Jesus calls, are we going to recognize his voice? Are we going to recognize the voice of truth? I am the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me. And if you want to know the voice of the shepherd, sometimes we have to turn off the noise and listen for the voice of the good shepherd, to sit at his feet in silence, to be guided by his beautiful truth, to struggle against the world that would put him to death. We need good shepherds, strong, bold men, molded on Christ, to lay down their lives, not for pay, but for love of God and love of neighbor. I want to talk just for a minute about the call to the priesthood and to answer that call. And I know not a lot of people here necessarily are even in the capacity to hear the call. You don't qualify to be a priest, okay? But at the same time, we should all have a burning desire that God would raise up for his church. This is one of the things that Jesus told us to pray for. Pray to the master of the harvest that there would be laborers for the harvest. And you don't have to be a priest to be a laborer, but at the same time, I want to talk particularly about the need for good shepherds in the priesthood. You know, men are being called to the priesthood. They need to be encouraged. They need to be asked. Parents and grandparents need to be open to that reality. Families need to be open to life. Marriages need to be open to children. Vocations of the priesthood come from healthy families. Contraception, divorce, and selfishness are killing Christian culture, because they are killing our shepherds before they're even born. The atheists want a Christian culture. We should want a Christian culture with all that we have, and we need good shepherds. I'm going to tell a little bit of a personal story here. You know, when I was on my journey, when I was being felt like I was being called to be a priest, when I finally got over myself and could hear Christ calling me, I had a tremendous fear had a tremendous fear of being unhappy in the priesthood. But it's been a joyful life. Truly more joyful than I imagined. More joyful even than I had hoped. You know, and then I had another fear. I had a fear of being a bad shepherd, okay? So when I ask you all to pray for me, right? When I ask you all to pray for me, and when people shake my hand at the end of church and they say something nice, and I'll say, pray for me. You know why I'm saying that? Because I want to be a good shepherd. And guess what's in me too? That very nature that rejected Christ, it has to be overcome by grace and faith and prayers and sacrifice. All of those things. You know, my brothers and sisters, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. Pray that God would raise up for his church good shepherds. Pray for the shepherds that we have. The thieves are coming to steal and slaughter and destroy. The wolves are coming to snatch and scatter and kill. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. Pray for good shepherds. Pray for the shepherds that we have. It is truly a great privilege to be a priest. For you fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, pray that God would raise up good shepherds in your very families to lead our culture to be truly in name and in deed a Christian culture.